From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, this is 30 Laps with Dick. I'm Richard Lyon. Welcome to This Week. Well, if this was a food show, we'd be talking about haute cuisine. However, it's not, is it? It's about cars. So this week, we talk about haute wheels. Money is no object. Yeah, I know. Oh, well, but let's dream this week on 30 Laps. Hey, ever dreamed about playing football like Maradona? Well, we've got the next best thing here, his Porsche 911. Let's kick that around a bit. And we look at a couple of the brightest stars who have recently gone and the lights have gone out, leaving the motoring world all too soon. Football royalty, fancy cars, and two of the best gone too fast. We've got it all this week in 30 laps. Well, really, we can kick off this week. So let's kick off with Maradona's 911. Show's been going 2 minutes and already there's a lousy pun. Anyway, this comes from the online magazine Classic and Sports Car, and it was written by Lizzie Pope on the 2nd of March this year. Legendary wheels. A 911 delivered new to the late football legend Diego Maradona will go under the hammer at Bonhams in a Paris sale in May 2021. With such a high-profile owner, it's certain to attract a lot of attention, as perhaps one of the ultimate pieces of sporting memorabilia. Whether you're a football fan or not, the name of Diego Maradona needs no introduction. He is one of those sports people that are rare and few and far between. Those fame whose fame extends far beyond their own chosen discipline. It's not a new thing for footballers to indulge in the world's fastest, flashiest, most desirable cars, and Diego was no different. Well, when he took delivery of his Porsche on 6th of November 1992, he had recently been signed to Seville Football Club for 750 million pesetas, which is around £5 million sterling. So it's fairly safe to say he could afford it. And of course, this is Maradona, so this is no ordinary Porsche. And this Porsche, a 911 Carrera 2-type 964 works turbo. It's a cabriolet of only one of 1,200 that were built. These 1,200 Porsches were produced in a two-year run at the time they were the top of the range model. The rear-engine Porsche 964 is powered by a 3.6-litre flat-six, 247 brake horsepower. This meant 260 kilometres per hour top speed. And this car's first owner wasn't afraid of making the most of his Porsche's performance. So, a limited-run 911 with a really, really famous owner, what do you think it might achieve at auction? Bonham's pre-sale reckons 150 to 200,000 euro. The Porsche was delivered to Maradona during his final season of European football, and as we've said, the Argentinian had just signed for Seville. He was the team captain and was often spotted driving this 911 to and from training sessions, so clearly he enjoyed using it. Maybe just a little too much. As verified by the press clippings that will be sold with the Porsche, while Maradona was driving it, he was stopped by armed police for jumping a red light and speeding. But when the footballer was known for hitting the headlines for reasons unrelated on his on-pitch activities. Indeed, that season with Seville had been referred to as the forgotten season, Maradona's parties often claiming more column inches than his team's results. He was recalled to play for Argentina and left the club in June 1993. Of course, he is probably best known for the Hand of God goal in a match against England in the quarterfinals of the 1986 World Cup, which he and his Argentinian teammates went on to win. He's also part of the team that enjoyed UEFA Cup victories and playing for Napoli, claiming 2 Serie A titles. Unfortunately, Diego Armando Maradona struggled with addiction, weight issues, health problems, and more. From the heights of sporting success also came devastating lows. Maradona passed away 25 November 2020 at the age of 60 in Argentina. Only time will tell if his recent death will have an effect on the price of his Porsche and when it goes under the hammer with Bonhams in Paris. So although Maradona was this 9/11's first owner, he didn't have it for that long due to his short tenure at Seville FC. However, it seems he enjoyed it because he covered 7,500 kilometres in it, as they say in the classics. Assume that means driving, I would think. According to the paperwork in Porsche's file, next, it was kept in France by a chap called Bruno Ince of Ville d'Avenay, who took ownership around the year 2000. About it. A year later, another Frenchman, Jacques Roy, had the pleasure of this car before selling it to Guy Delacasse of Montan, also in France, in January 2003. Then there was some stability in the car's life because Mr. Delacasse hung on to it until 2016, and it was sold to the current vendor. A few years later, and this Porsche is once again looking for a new home in France or elsewhere. The good news for any prospective bidders and bottoms in Le Grand Marque du Monde de Paris sale on Paris, in Paris, is that this one of 1,200 Porsche 911s seems to have been well cared for. It will be sold with the original guarantee and maintenance booklet in Maradona's name. Now in 2021, this Porsche 911 drop top has completed 122,762 kilometres. That's over 76,000 miles, as is an English show, so bear with me. And any potential bidder will surely be relieved to know that prior to its sale with Bonhams, it had been serviced by the Porsche Centre in Bonn. So, who knows what price this matching numbers 964 will be when it's drawn and the hammer falls. Will it be more or less than its 150,000 to 200,000 euro pre-sale estimate? Well, let's find out. The auction was brought forward, actually, and the vehicle sold. You can write in and tell me what you think the price went for, and I will give you a set of 2B pencils. But if you can't do that and you want to find out anyway, it doubled the estimate. And the hammer fell on 483,000 euro. A car, I guess, will only accelerate in value over the years to come, especially if it's kept in good condition. So thanks to Lizzie Pope from the Classic and Sports Car magazine for Diego Maradona's 911. There's a lost in time. Don't know his name or where he's coming from. Only thing you know, he's a real gone cat, this friend of mine. He don't have no uptown friends that drive a Cadillac, but he's got cool threads and a beat up car. All his downtown friends like me ride around in the back. Cool cat. Yeah, he's a real gone cat, this friend of mine. I don't think we're talking about Diego Maradona there. Hey, look at this, it just blew in the window. Formula E race descends into farce as half the fields run out of charge. Formula E is the electric version of Formula One. This is from drive.com.au from Rob Marget, and it was written 26th of April 2021. We better check this out, I think. The FIA Formula E Championship descended into farce in Valencia, Spain over the weekend, with around half the field running out of charge before the checkered flag fell. The chaos ensued after several safety car periods during the race. Under Formula E regulations, the amount of energy a driver may use is reduced when the safety car intervention is needed. With the race scheduled to last for 45 minutes plus one lap, five separate safety car periods throughout conspired to reduce the amount of energy available by a total of 19 kilowatt hours, meaning that over half the field was left floundering without enough charge in their batteries to complete the race distance. Only 12 cars were running at the fall of the checkered flag, with several of those slowing on the final lap to conserve what remaining energy they had. Mercedes driver Nick Van Vees was declared the winner amid chaotic scenes where several drivers, including the leader at the start of the final lap, Antonio Felix da Costa, slowed markedly to reduce energy consumption. Da Costa was classified seventh, over a minute behind the winner. The FIA blamed Da Costa after the race, stating that because the Portuguese driver had crossed the start-finish line 15 seconds before the allotted 45-minute race distance, a further two laps would be required to complete the race instead of the usual one. The FIA stated it believed that had Da Costa slowed for 15 seconds before crossing the line, only one more lap would have been needed to complete the official 45 plus one lap race distance, thus mitigating the reduction in energy available for the majority of the field. After the race, Da Costa took to social media to label the race a farce and predicted it would be a laughingstock of the motorsport world. "I'm sorry, but I can't accept this," added Da Costa. "If I go even slower under safety car, how many teams would have protested me at the end? And also, if I go slower, they would have reduced more energy. Today, it was only on the hands of the FIA to save us all from this." Formula E management responded to Da Costa's criticism post-race, defending the championship rules. "It's a tricky race for everyone, with safety cars in the rain and the spec track here, but still, managing energy is a key part of Formula E, and we can see that it is challenging, but it is manageable, and some achieved the very, very well, and some less so well," said FIA's Director of Formula E and Innovative Sports Projects, Frederick Bertrand. "It's clearly a lesson for the future, and we will keep consistency on managing those types of challenges for the rest of the year." How about that, hey? It's a little bit different, isn't it, from your remote TV remote not being able to turn the TV on because you don't have any battery? Your racing car stops on the final lap. Anyway, that was from drive.com.au, Rob Majit, and it was written on the 26th of April, 2021. So let's all lie back and dream a little about Hoyt Wheels, not Hoyt Cuisine. And this is from The Australian, from the Rich List edition, a magazine edition of the 20th of March this year. "Formula One rivaling monsters to the most advanced road car ever made without a windscreen. And here are five of the latest, most outrageous vehicles for when money is no object." And this is written by Noel Faulkner. The first one is the Rodan, FZED and FZERO or F0. "Trying to buy a Formula One car presents some unique problems. For one thing, they're rare and cost in the tens of millions. Let's say you do have the change. For example, even though Scuderia Ferrari's invitation only F1 client program, even then your car must reside permanently at Ferrari's HQ in Maranello. What is one to do? Well, you head across the Tasman, where you'll find the next best thing, Rodan Cars. the New Zealand-based constructor, was funded and founded by Australian businessman David Dicker, whose formidable car collection had a gaping hole, his dream car. So Dicker gathered some of the Australian and New Zealand brightest engineering minds, the most advanced equipment, and some racing pedigree parts, and he built it himself. Currently open for order is Roden's next Goliath, the F-Zero, launching this year and costing an estimated $1.2 million. This closed cockpit neck snapper, weighs even less at 605 kilos and will debut a house-developed 4-litre V10 that will be available as a naturally aspirated 522-kilowatt variant, or 750 kilowatt in twin turbo. Oh boy. It can jump to 0 to 310 seconds. There's the neck snapping bit, I guess. That's where that comes in. For the speed enthusiast, this Antipodean constructor answers simple questions. Why buy a clapped out Formula One car when you can have something built brand new, made to order and shipped to Australia that's even faster? Go to rodencars.com. Next on the list, the retro future collector's item, the Jaguar C Roadster. The classic car market has skyrocketed globally in price and desirability, making it more challenging to enter than ever before. Built for classic enthusiasts who already own an enviable collection, where does one go? Does collecting stop once you have it all? Enter the continuation car. Not a restoration or an aftermarket edition, the continuation car is a model especially brought back from the dead in limited numbers, often with the current year's chassis number and built new, but based on the original engineering blueprints. This is model du jour is the Jaguar C-Type 70th anniversary continuation, one of Jaguar's most exclusive sports cars. The C-Type is most famous for its two 24-hour at Le Mans wins. The new C-Type continuation will be hand-built in Jaguar Land Rover's Classic Works facility in Coventry, in England, to the very same specifications as the 1953 car that won Le Mans, meaning each will be track-ready and historic racing compliant. Holy expensive, Batman. However, sporting at a race meet will be extremely difficult. Only 8 C-Type continuation cars will be made, no doubt reserved for the very exclusive list of historic sports car collectors and Jaguar enthusiasts. And just as an aside, Stirling Moss drove this car to one of those victories at Le Mans. Well, that's three cool cats, and we've just talked about one cool cat, the Type C Jaguar. Want to dream a bit more? Why not? The bespoke, without limits, Rolls-Royce. Or as they say in Mayfair, Rolls-Royce. Over the past few decades, the L word has seemingly depreciated faster than the last generation. You know, phone batteries or whatever. However, with an attitude of jump, how high? There is one automotive brand continually redefining the definition of luxury. Rolls-Royce. The requests that waft through the bespoke division are usually kept under wraps, though rumours do make their way through automotive circles. Take the customer who asked Rolls-Royce to source veneer from a tree at their childhood home. Or those who request personalised marquetry or spacious gemstones to be laid into the car's interior panels. Or the many who have installed Rolls-Royce iconic starlight ceiling and requested it to depict a constellation from the precise date and time. Oh boy. Some with up to 2,900 tiny fibre optic stars. Good gracious. The Phantom is not a new model by any means, but it remains the pinnacle of on-road bespoke offerings, as Rolls-Royce's ability to customise the car is ever-evolving, particularly when it comes to the dream team referred to as the Gallery, a glass enclosure that runs along the front dashboard, created at the marque's art-loving customers in mind to show off its potential. Rolls-Royce recently paired with the high-end ethical design brand Nature Squared to create a one-off, iridescent and sustainably sourced interior. The result? Iridescent opulence. Supposedly involved extensive research into sustainable species of birds that also had iridescent feathers and dense plumage. The result is a hand-sewn dashboard made from 3,000 feathers and a matching mother-of-pearl inlay. Here's the good bit, folks. Phantom start from $950,000. But if you have to ask how much it costs when you're speaking the wrong language, go to RollsRoyce.com and hold your breath. Lamborghini haven't been quiet in this sector either. Let me address that. Off the back of the Lamborghini's incredible 602-kilowatt V12 hybrid supercar, the Lamborghini Sian FKP37, and more recently the Sian Roadster, comes the Italian brand's answer to the global rise in modern personal mobility solutions, transportation collaborations, and that travel from road to sea. Slated for delivery this year, the Technomar for Lamborghini 63-foot motor yacht is a collaboration with luxury yacht builder, the Italian Sea Group. Based on the Sian FKP37, the ultra-light motor yacht is dripping in carbon fibre and signature. And that signature, of course, is the Lamborghini. With dual F12 149 kilowatt engines at the centre and an impressive top speed of 60 knots, which is 111 kilometres an hour. The yacht will be shooting for Lamborghini-like performance on the water, and for the road, the limited edition Ducati Diavel 1260 Lamborghini, of which only 630 will be made, is also inspired by the hybrid supercar. Basing it on the Diavel 1260S, Ducati's Centro Slide design team harvested the DNA of the Sian FKP37 and sprinkled it throughout the entire bike's components. It is as if the two vehicles were meant to be owned as a pair, because just own the one supercar when you could have the superbike and the yacht, because why just own one? And should you want to keep something to keep you busy in between, there's the 3696-piece 1/8-scale Lego Technic Lamborghini Sian FKP37 set. Price on application. Finally, the McLaren supercar. Despite the gloom of 2020, this year saw a dazzling number of supercar launches, among the most exciting models to drop, and one of the few we will see in Australia is the McLaren Elva. It may not have a roof, a windscreen, or any windows, but as part of the top Ultimate series, it is the epitome of McLaren's precision engineering, aerial trickery, and driver enhancement. The open-top design is an homage to the great Bruce McLaren and his design cars of the same name from the 1960s, except this time goggles aren't necessary. To protect both occupants from the wind, the Elva is engineered with a world-first active air management system that directs air through the nose and over the cockpit to form what is called a bubble of calm. Powered by a 509-kilowatt twin-turbo V8, it's the lightest road car ever made by McLaren, mostly due to the flagrant use of carbon fiber, including for the chassis, bodywork, seats and ceramic brakes. It can accelerate 0 to 100 in 3 seconds. 0 to 200 in 6.7, beating the McLaren Sienna by a hair. Like everything else on this list, Elvaras won't come easy. 249 are only being made, and they're kicking off at around $2.5 million. Go to McLaren and hold your breath again. McLaren.com. Well, there you have it, folks. We've run out of time once again for the pair that have gone too fast. John Connolly's piece, The World's Quickest Taxi Driver, and of course, Murray Walker. But we'll cover that very soon in an upcoming episode. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Hey, money's no object. There's 5 things you can do to quickly help you lose your money. Constellations in the ceiling. Bespoke constellations in the ceiling of the Rolls-Royce. Hey, that takes my vote for today. And the McLaren Elva. I wouldn't mind one of those with the Antipodean connections that McLaren has. And, of course, we looked at the Formula E. And for the first time in a race, in a Formula E race, they all ran out of power. It's quite amazing when you watch those things or you listen to those things on television when they're televised, and all you hear is the whistling of the air over the vehicles. There's no engine noise at all. Quite strange. And, of course, we kicked the 911 around that used to belong to Diego Maradona, and, of course, it received an auction, €483,000, which was double what they thought it was worth. Boy, I wonder what the brokerage was on that. Bonham's made a small fortune, I think. Anyway, back to the future. Thank you very much for your company today. I've enjoyed bringing it to you as always. The show is written and produced in the Sydney studios for the RPH network, and especially for 2RPH here in Sydney. I look forward to your company next week when we'll talk about something, as usual, completely different. So until then, stay safe, keep that seatbelt fastened, and let the window down. You never know what might blow in. Make life a little easier. See ya. Bye for now.